WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Secretary of State Blinken has wrapped up a long-delayed visit to Beijing with a half-hour meeting with China's president.
I had an important conversation with President Xi Jinping. We both agree on the need to stabilize our relationship.
Chief Foreign Correspondent Margaret Brennan is traveling with the Secretary of State.
Blinken's prime goal, open lines of communication to avoid a military clash with a nuclear power. China's military chief refuses to meet or talk to Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. That heightens the risk of miscalculation, particularly given what the Pentagon calls a series of provocative actions.
Officials in Lewin, Mississippi say at least one person was killed, 18 hospitalized, after a tornado whipped through overnight. It was one of six twisters in the state in less than 24 hours. Haley Fisackerly with Entergy, Mississippi.
Normally what we're used to is when a storm hits our area, imagine a hurricane or a tornado that hits the area and leaves, and we can start the restoration process, but there have been waves of storm constantly, more expected throughout the week, that have created the challenges that we're doing.
Power is out to almost 400,000 customers in the South. Most of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas are under an excessive heat warning. KHOU-TV's Stephanie Whitefield.
It's going to feel like 116 degrees in Houston. So the city has already opened up cooling centers across the area. Those cooling centers will be in libraries, community centers.
It was a violent weekend here in the U.S. At least 12 people were killed since Friday. CBS's Elise Preston.
At a Juneteenth celebration in Willowbrook, Illinois, one dead, 22 injured. At a party in St. Louis, Missouri, one dead, nine injured, all teenagers. More than a dozen mass shootings, nearly 100 people injured.
A search and rescue mission's underway off the coast of Massachusetts.
Boston-based Coast Guard personnel are searching for a missing submersible, which is used to take people to view the wreck of the Titanic. OceanGate, the company which organizes the expeditions at $250,000 per person, isn't yet saying how many people are on board. It's issued a statement saying, "We are working towards the safe return of the crew members." Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Drive a Hyundai EV? National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's opened an investigation into owner complaints of loud popping noises before the IONIQ 5 partially or completely loses propulsive power. Hyundai says it'll offer a software update beginning next month and, if necessary, replace affected parts. A preliminary investigation points to a recharging issue. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A natural gas and crude oil pipeline in northern Wisconsin will have to be moved. As Melissa Kay reports, a federal judge's ruling is a win for the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa.
U.S. District Court Judge William Conley ruled on Friday the Enbridge Line 5 pipeline is too close to a river meander, creating an unreasonable risk for failure near the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Reservation. The federal judge gave a timeline of 3 years for the stretch of pipeline on the tribal lands and also ordered the Canadian Energy Company to pay more than $5 million to the tribe over claims of trespassing on tribal land. An Enbridge spokesperson stated the company plans to appeal last week's ruling.
That's the Media's Melissa Kay reporting. The future of higher education in Wisconsin is the topic of a lot of discussion lately and of a state Senate committee hearing today. State lawmakers want to cut funding for diversity efforts in the University of Wisconsin system. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, for one, dismisses diversity, equity, and inclusion as, quote, the left's new religion. But UW System President Jay Rothman says DEI is actually important for retaining students and supplying Wisconsin's workforce with college graduates.
And that's, you know, historically underrepresented groups, that's veterans, that's disabled students, that's first-generation students, that's people of different ideologies, political or otherwise, that's different religions. We have to create that inclusive environment so that we can recruit them, so that they can feel they belong in our universities, so that they stay and they graduate. because at the end of the day, that's what's important to our state.
That's Rothman on Upfront on Channel 12 in Milwaukee. The shared revenue bill already bans state money for DEI at the local government level. Governor Evers says he'll veto the entire state budget bill if lawmakers strip funding for UW system DEI. Well, today is Wisconsin's official observance of Juneteenth. Pete Schwabo reports.
Juneteenth is a federal holiday. Banks, the post office, and stock markets are closed today. But Wisconsin is not one of the 14 states which have given Juneteenth holiday status. Meanwhile, Governor Evers says Juneteenth is a day of celebration and of reckoning.
We also recognize and acknowledge the work that we have left to do to truly realize goals for a more equitable and just state.
Juneteenth marks the day in 1865 that the last enslaved black people in the United States learned of their freedom under the Emancipation Proclamation. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin Republicans are taking a stand against early voting. Delegates at last weekend's state convention in La Crosse passed a non-binding resolution calling for an end to most kinds of early voting. That's even though party leaders like Senator Ron Johnson are urging the GOP to embrace early voting. So is state party chairman Brian Schimming.
I say to Republicans across the state, look, we can't keep going into election day 200,000 votes down and make it up in 13 hours. We get people to early vote or we lose. That simple.
Schimming on Upfront, convention delegates also voted resolutions to dismantle the Wisconsin Elections Commission and to require college students to vote in their hometowns instead of on campus. The weather is getting warm enough to kill more fish than normal. A lot of things can lead to uptick in fish die-offs. Bacteria, viruses, fungi, and parasites that thrive in warm water, for one. There are also environmental factors like low oxygen levels. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding people on the water to report fish kills to their local fish biologists. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News Time is 12:07.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in southeast Wisconsin. A picture of the missing 30-year-old woman from Milwaukee is on the police department's social media pages. Officials say Shomari Garden is critically missing and was last seen Friday near Tetonia and Good Hope Road. A gun was tossed in a Kenosha yard last night after people ran away from a traffic stop. Police say none of the suspects have been caught, with the gun and the knife found in a place where a kid could have easily found it. Racine held theirs over the weekend. Milwaukee had theirs today. And Juneteenth events will continue through the week in some communities.
We welcome the commemoration of Juneteenth as a day of truthful reflection to honor the progress we have made, acknowledge how far we still have to go, and renew our commitment to building a shared community vision.
Racine Mayor Corey Mason made a Juneteenth proclamation at the most recent city council meeting. A major Lake County highway was shut down this morning after a crash near Antioch. 173 was shut down near 45 after a car became trapped under a semi. Flight for Life out of Burlington was called in to help the victim. We're working on learning more. A crash between a motorcycle and a scooter in Milwaukee yesterday was fatal. Police say the person on the scooter ran a red light and died at the scene. The person on the motorcycle was taken to the hospital. There's a shakeup at the top of the Kenosha County Human Services Department. Starting next week, Rebecca Dutter will be the Assistant Director of Human Services, working under Director John Jansen. Carrie Foss will succeed Dutter as Director of Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health Services. In Illinois, it's a DUI, and a bus driver for a major league team was charged with it late last week. Jimmy Casca has more.
A contracted bus driver responsible for transporting the Pittsburgh Pirates to Milwaukee for their series against the Brewers was arrested for driving under the influence late last week. Illinois State Police intervened and stopped the bus on Interstate 94 in Chicago due to erratic driving and signs of impairment.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Refreshing rain relaxed a few of us across the state both yesterday and this morning. Western Wisconsin was hit with significant rainfall amounts on Sunday, putting down nearly 2 inches near La Crosse. This morning, some central and northwest portions of the state woke up to light rain, picking up around a quarter of an inch. Still, though, 46% of the state remains in a drought. Today, a southeast breeze will crank the heat up as high temperatures rise into the low to mid-80s. Sunshine will dominate the southern parts of the state, while a mix of sun and clouds covers the rest of us. Madison in the southwestern portions of the state, as well as northwest Wisconsin, is still under a high fire danger. Tonight, temperatures fall into the low 60s under clear skies, and by tomorrow, expect a heat wave as we spike into the upper 80s and low 90s. Have a magnificent Monday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers back on top of their division. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Pittsburgh had a 2-0 lead in the third, but the Brewers came back with a 5-2 win over the Pirates in front of over 38,000 fans on Father's Day at AmFam Field, bottom of the fifth. Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brian Anderson with the call.
Now we'll see if the Brewers can get a run in. Brewers have left five on thus far, and he stings one to left field. Yelich got a good break, and they'll send him home. Joe's throw, and Yelich is in there.
Christian Yelich hit a pair of doubles and talked about sweeping the Pirates at home.
I mean, anytime you win division games, division series, it's big. You just got to get wins when you can get them. You know, you try and win as many as you can, whenever you can. They all add up at the end of the year, and you just got to get them. And we were able to, you know, we were kind of in a tough stretch before this and had the off day, kind of regrouped and came out and played really well. We got another tough team coming in here.
So you complete the sweep against the Pirates at home and next the Diamondbacks before that road trip.
We just got to keep trying to play well, keep stringing wins together, and that's really all you can do. You know, there's going to be ups and downs throughout the season. Our division's probably going to be pretty jumbled together all season. You know, everyone's going to count, everyone's going to matter, and you see in September when those races kind of come down to the wire, it's a win here, a win there, are huge.
Clutch hits from Yelich, Contreras, Winkler, Craig Counsell.
You know, Yelly's been swinging it really, really well. William's been swinging it really well. Joey had some big hits in the series, so that's, you know, how a season's going to work generally. But when you get contributions from those guys that have been struggling, that's when you're usually going to score some runs.
So how did Pittsburgh let the game slip away? We talked to Pirates manager Derek Shelton.
Well, with the pitching, we got to throw the ball on the plate. We didn't throw the ball on the plate in the eighth inning, and that's what ended up coming back to bite us. When we have multiple walks in a leverage inning, then runs are going to score, and that's what we saw.
So the Pirates now with a 6-game losing streak. The Brewers' homestand continues tonight as they host the Arizona Diamondbacks. Milwaukee is back on top of the NL Central, a half game ahead of the Reds, and 2.5 games above the Pirates. NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks and Miami Heat were said to be in the running to add Wizards guard Bradley Beal. Last night, ESPN reporting that the Wizards are finalizing a trade that will send Beal to the Phoenix Suns. Golf, American Wyndham Clark held on to win the U.S. Open in L.A.
You know, it's now my second win on the PGA Tour, and first one was surreal, and this one's surreal. So, you know, it hasn't quite hit me yet. I'm just so blessed and humbled to be here.
Clark beat Rory McIlroy by one shot, shooting 10 under par. Racing at Road America, Colton Herta had the pole position but pitted too early. Alex Palou passed him to win the IndyCar Grand Prix.
Yeah, I was surprised with Colton pitting that lap early because he was fast. His tires were good as us. So, yeah, that gave us the win.
That's IndyCar driver Alex Palou. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your local business benefit from reaching thousands of radio listeners in the Metro Milwaukee area? Show your American pride by sponsoring a radio promo celebrating Independence Day, listing city firework displays, and honoring military veterans. If you're a key decision maker for your company and would like to learn more, email your name and number to Lindsay at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us. Happy Independence Day.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 82 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, east winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 57 tonight. Clear skies. Lots of sunshine outside again tomorrow. Highs level off around 82. Dry with temperatures near average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Joining us today, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am William Walter,
policy research director
and lead... Oh, sorry, Luke. Just giving the intro. Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And you, good sir, are?
Stepping on your toes, apparently, this morning. We're still learning the dance here at Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers here at Civic Media, and we got Aaron on the board. You and the listening audience, if you want to share your thoughts with us on this edition of Town Call, 844-967-2789. How are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon, Will?
Well, it's a really good thing I brought my steel toes. I woke up this morning and was like, you know what? I'm going to go bootsy today, and I'm very happy that I did, because I have been protected from the immense weight of Luke stepping all over me.
Ouch, that's a fat joke right there. Okay, cool. Cool,
man. No.
Cool.
I meant you're an intellectual giant.
Cool. All right. So what are we talking about on this edition of Town Call, Will?
Well, it is June 14th. It's kind of nice, actually, finally, in my neck of the woods, even though I do still have the long sleeve on. I can deal with this weather. It's not too cold for me or anything. But June 14th, Luke, I don't know if you knew this, but it is like birthday haven today. Birthday palooza.
I
like that. That's a better way to go with it. It is Flag Day, but it is also Fighting Bob Day, Robert La Follette Senior Day in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Public School Observance Day required by statute if school is in session, commemorating Robert La Follette, born June 14th of 1855, who served in the U.S. House of Representatives as governor in Wisconsin and in the U.S. Senate. He was one of the founders of the Progressive Party. Big shout out to Fighting Bob. If you have not read up on him, he is a monumental figure in Wisconsin history, and just a fascinating individual that I think all Wisconsinites should be well versed in. On top of Fightin' Bob, we also have Donald Trump's birthday. So got a little bit of an early birthday present yesterday. Che Guevara, Jim Sensenbrenner, Sam Perkins, Steffi Graf, three-time NBA champion Bruce Bowen, Gunna, and Montgomery Edward Scott, the chief engineering officer on the USS Enterprise, who is slated to be born in the year 2160.
In the year
2160.
30-some years from now. Yeah. Cool. Also, here at Civic Media, we got Dom Salvia, co-host of The Devil's Advocates, and a friend of mine, and I think the station, here in Madison, Mad Radio 92.7, Scott Ross. The ethics firebrand himself, Scott Ross, also. So as you noted, Flag Day, tons of birthdays, birthday palooza. If you have a birthday, we'd love to hear about it. 844-967-2789. Because, yeah, apparently a lot of people born on June 14th. Will?
Happy birthday to all the June 14ers. I'm doing a little mental math to see what was 9 months before today, and I can't think of anything that would be
the middle of September,
like important or special. Like, it's the middle of September. I mean, my birthday is the end of September, so if everybody wants to celebrate that, that's fine. But you know, Fightin' Bob was born in the 1850s, so I was not really a thing at that point. Luke, we got a question for the audience today. We are talking budget at the state level. What are your priorities, Wisconsin? If you were an elected official, what would you like to see in the upcoming 2-year budget? We're going to start with the Republican delayed
844-967-2789, though. We want to know, if you were a lawmaker, in this little thought exercise, if you had the ability to contribute to the writing of the upcoming 2-year budget, what would you include? 844-967-2789. Give us a call, send us a text. We want to know.
Stepping on my toes again, Luke. I was going to get
there. You're wearing the boots. So now that I know that you've got safety, I don't feel bad about it.
True. That's why we would better be – I'm a big proponent of better safe than sorry. So I will always take that approach from now on. I think I might have to wear the steel toes every day just in case. So we're reading from a piece at the AP. Republicans delay vote on University of Wisconsin budget after promises to cut diversity funds. Republican state lawmakers on Tuesday suspended a vote on funding for the University of Wisconsin campuses hours after a top GOP leader promised to slash the college system's budget as part of an ongoing fight over diversity and inclusion initiatives. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the state's top Republican, told the AP on Tuesday he expected the GOP-controlled legislature's budget writing committee to cut all funding that the university system would use for diversity initiatives, estimating the cuts would total $32 million. Now, Luke, this is very, very interesting because there, obviously, Voss's plan was to simply remove DEI initiatives in every way, shape, and form, but he could not do that. So instead, he cut the value he estimated them to be worth from the budget and said he's essentially threatening the UW system, right? You could just remove these things that we want gone and the rest of your budget will stay the exact same and you don't have to worry about cuts. Or if you want to keep a program that I don't think is necessary, then you're going to have to find a way to save that $32 million elsewhere. It's frankly gross.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that Democratic Governor Tony Evers, when learning about this, essentially equated the threat of these budget cuts to war on higher education in Wisconsin. So it seems like this is going to be the next sticking point for the divided government here in Wisconsin. And I think it's to be expected that there's not going to be a whole lot of kumbaya right away. There's going to be some negotiations. There's going to be compromises sought. And so the starting point now for the UW systems budget negotiations are the Governor Evers' administration is seeking a $305 million increase to the budget. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and I would assume it's going to be the line for Republicans, at least in the Assembly, if not in the legislature as a whole, is to cut the funding by $32 million. I have a feeling we're going to, as a state of Wisconsin, experiencing divided government right now, come somewhere in the middle of those two numbers, but it's going to be interesting to see how those conversations continue to be had. There was 8 hours of closed-door discussions among lawmakers yesterday, ultimately around 9:30, 10 o'clock at night last night. They said, hey, we're not going to be voting on this anymore. We're going to suspend this vote. And so it's interesting that this is where the Republican caucus is when it comes to funding the UW system. I think it's important to note that kind of shows that maybe there's not just divided government between the legislature and the governor's office. Maybe there's divided government among Republican lawmakers as well, because an 8-hour closed session is a long closed door session, Will. That is a long time to be discussing behind those doors on what to do for University of Wisconsin system funding for the next 2 years. And ultimately, if they don't come to a compromise, it will be interesting to see what happens. But we want to know what your priorities would be if you were in behind those closed doors, if you had the option to and the opportunity to contribute to writing the upcoming 2-year budget. What would you include? 844-967-2789. We want to hear from you. You're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. You can call or text 844-967-2789.
And if you would like to, you can be like Jack from Merrimack. Jack, what's on your mind today?
Republicans continue to follow their fearless leader who once said, I love the poorly educated. They're going to do everything they can to cut public education and give it whatever excuses they want to. Of course, right now, they're just firing towards inciting their base. Oh, diversity, this is racist. Excuse me? That's exactly the opposite. But more importantly, these guys have been gerrymandered in so long that they think there are absolutely no voter consequences. That's for the last 12, 13 years. That's what they found out. And they just don't care what they do. They're going to do what they want to do, and to heck with anybody else. If I were Governor Evers and had any input into it, I would start out with their first top 10 priorities. The first thing I would take off the list is I would say I'm going to absolutely line item veto any public money for private education in this state. And then I'd go down the list to the next nine important topics and say, I'm going to veto this and this and this and this. Now let's talk and really compromise. Because that's what's got to happen. These guys don't listen to anything else.
That's a great point, Jack. Well, and Jack, what do you think about this? So the plan that the legislative Republicans have proposed will be boosting funding to K-8 private choice schools from about $8,400 per student to $9,500 per student, while private choice high schools will go from $9,045 per student to $12,000 per student. Robin Voss said, quote, "The good news is every one of the numbers is still less than what is spent on any public school in the state. We are lucky in Wisconsin that we have an incredibly robust school choice program for the kids who need a different school and the parents who want a different alternative. They will have the resources to keep those schools as great as they are today." He is essentially stating that, you know, we are going to siphon these public dollars and give them to the private schools because they're better, they're more efficient. I'm not sure, but it just, it seems like another attempt by legislative Republicans to kind of distance themselves, their friends, and their children from what they see as the rest of us, the public schoolites, the regular people that we're not a part of. We're able to privatize that. Do you think that's acceptable?
I think that's absolutely outrageous. First thing I'm going to say about that is this. I spent over 40 years teaching at a whole bunch of different levels, from sixth grade through university, in public, private, and parochial schools in Wisconsin and Minnesota both. And first of all, the important testing that all the Republicans rely on shows pretty clearly there is no significant difference between the results of private schools and public schools. The second thing is that school choice means that just exactly that. The school gets to choose, and I know because I worked in at least one of those, the school gets to choose whom they decide to take on and who they don't want to. And, boy, if there's anybody that's got any problems and really needs some help, they don't get it. And I know because I was told specifically that by – the administration at the private school that I worked at, I said, these kids have this problem, and your people have this training. They should be working with them. And he said, well, we can't afford to do that. So school choice, yeah, they get to choose whom they serve and whom they don't.
That's a brilliant point as well, Jack. Actually, I'd like to get back to that after the break, if you don't mind sticking around, because as you noted, private schools aren't held to the same standards as public schools. They are able to discriminate against those who have potentially have special needs, against the LGBTQ plus community. They don't have to accept students for any reason that they deem inappropriate, which means they are siphoning our public funds off to be able to create a specialized environment with only individuals that they want there. It's gross, and we're going to continue covering it after the break. We want to hear from you. What are your priorities? What would you like to see in the upcoming budget? Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after the break.
And if you got a birthday shout out, share it. It's Birthday Palooza on Town Call.
Birthday Palooza, happy birthday. So come give me a
hug. This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Blinken's met with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing in a bid to end a five-year chill in diplomatic relations. CBS's Olivia Gazis.
He achieved only minor diplomatic agreements, telling reporters in Beijing progress is hard. Blinken said China had agreed to increase the number of direct flights between the countries and potentially eventually establish a working group on fentanyl precursor chemicals.
There's more severe weather in store for the South, as well as dangerously high heat. The Weather Channel's Stephanie Abrams.
We're going to see basically damaging winds and hail as we head throughout the day. A lot of lightning and heavy rain as well. In other parts of the South, we're dealing with the extreme and excessive heat. Our temperatures well above 100 degrees.
New restrictions on evidence in former President Trump's classified documents case. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A new court order from Florida federal magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart restricts the handling of the materials shared by the Justice Department with Donald Trump's defense team.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. Two separate shootings within a 90-minute time frame last night resulted in the deaths of two men in Milwaukee. The first shooting took place at around 9 last night, and no arrests have been made at this point. This past weekend, the rides weren't the only danger at Six Flags. Brittany Merlot has the story.
A man was arrested at Six Flags Great America in Gurnee over the weekend for allegedly attempting to bring a loaded gun in a baby stroller. An X-ray screening revealed a handgun in a diaper bag. The man, who is on parole in Louisiana, has been charged with felon in possession of a firearm and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
A 16-year-old was in the car when a Racine man was pulled over on I-94 over the weekend. That teenage passenger enhanced an OWI charge after troopers pulled over 48-year-old Andre Lewis on I-94 near Highway 11 Saturday. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If you're searching for top-notch electrical service for your commercial or industrial property, connect with Current Electric in Wauwatosa. Current Electric offers a wide array of electrical services to clients in Milwaukee and the surrounding areas. Celebrating 40 years of energizing and illuminating lives in southeastern Wisconsin, their dedicated team of superheroes can help with everything from parking lot lighting upgrades to office and business LED conversions, EV chargers to service upgrades. Call 262-295-2815 or log on to callcurrent.com.
Ensure yourself a brighter future with help from insurance agent Stephanie Morales. Stephanie's passion is educating families on affordable, sufficient coverage, along with using your insurance for emergencies to major purchases while you're alive. Book a free insurance consultation with Stephanie Morales today at stephaniemorales.net or call 414-791-0124. That's 414-791-0124. Call today to begin that brighter future. Stephanie Morales Insurance. Creating a legacy.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Welcome all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today we are talking the Wisconsin budget. What are your priorities, Wisconsin? What would you like to see enacted in the upcoming two-year budget if you were an elected official? And Luke, we've been covering education particularly in the budget. And something that I want to touch on that I think we haven't really covered enough or as in-depth as we probably should is the massive teacher shortage that we're seeing in public schools. If you're a teacher, if you have experience with teachers, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can be like Jack from Merrimack. Jack, as someone who has worked in the education department, you have to be seeing this as well, right? A 2022 survey by School Choice Wisconsin found 355 open K-12 positions at the 133 school choice schools that responded, while similar research found MPS was down 230 teachers, and the Madison Metropolitan School District had a 140 teacher vacancy during that time frame. We are asking a lot of our teachers. We are not giving them the respect and dignity that, in my opinion, they deserve, and frankly, they're significantly underpaid. Are all of these issues intertwined? What do you think we could be doing to be drawing more teachers to the state of Wisconsin?
Well, the first thing that you'd have to do is get rid of Act 10. I mean, that's just been a disaster. That, in fact, was one of the things, not the only thing, but one of the things that caused me to retire when I finally did after 40 years of teaching. My son, who just recently graduated from the university with a degree in teaching, is not going to teach in Wisconsin because the climate for teaching in this state has been made so hostile by things like Act 10, he's going to go to Minnesota to teach.
Now, Jack, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that all of the U-Hauls would be coming to Wisconsin from Minnesota because of the taxes that they passed in Minnesota. Are you're telling me that there's a U-Haul going the other way because of the teaching climate here in Wisconsin?
Oh, for sure. That's the case with, again, with my son. You know, I can't speak for other people, but I do know that that is the primary reason that he's going to Minnesota. And it's not just the hostile environment for teaching. It's the overall environment of the state. Everything from the lack of expansion of Badger Care, which could have been taken care of in the budget, to cannabis reform, which could have been taken care of in the budget, to women's medical rights, which is a separate issue, but is still important to young people.
I think that's incredibly interesting, Jack, that you mentioned Badger Care expansion as well as cannabis legalization, because that is a topic we will be jumping to in a couple of minutes. But first, I want to hear from Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, what are your thoughts on the upcoming budget?
Well, I think it's ridiculous that the Republicans are vastly increasing the funding for the private the voucher schools that when they're not required to the same testing requirements as the public schools. That it has been pointed out that if a child in the private schools doesn't meet up to their standards, they can just eject that child, keep the money, and eject that child from the school system. And because in Wisconsin, you know, children are entitled to a education as citizens of the state of Wisconsin, that the public schools would have to accept them. And it just is another sign of the Republican hypocrisy on this issue that just continues to gall me, because those voucher schools should all be subject to the same testing requirements as any of the public schools, required to meet the same standards as any of the public schools. Then they can say, well, if the parents are satisfied, that's good enough for us. Well, baloney, you know, that we are also a customer as taxpayers of those voucher schools.
Well, Mark, it seems like the voucher expansion is going to be included in the upcoming biennial budget through the compromise to send roughly 20% of all future state sales tax back to local communities to address the problems that we've been seeing in the shared revenue formula and local communities not having the resources they need to fund all kinds of services, from emergency response, firefighting, police officers, law enforcement, to roads, to any number of priorities that these communities have to fund. It seems like voucher schools are going to get a boost in this upcoming budget through that compromise. But what would you like to see in the upcoming budget, Mark? If you were behind those closed doors, what would you like to see included in the upcoming two-year budget?
Well, I'd like to see the engineering school actually funded, because that would bring in more students to the state of Wisconsin and provide for more educated engineers that we need as part of, you know, our growing economy. And but I'd also like to see, as I just stated, that if the voucher schools are going to be receiving the state funds, that they should be required to meet the same standards as the public schools. and get the public, you know, because I'm a public product of the public schools. And I remember very well my grade school teachers, you know, high school teachers, junior high school teachers, you know, and the lessons that they taught. I mean, that, you know, I think that they would be, a lot of the Republicans today would have been horrified at the information that I was given as a fifth grader about the Nazis in the Holocaust. I mean, that I was given vivid descriptions by fifth and sixth grade teachers about how the evils of the Nazis. And I don't think the Republicans today would think very highly of that, because that, you know, they want to think that everything, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around,
so higher standards for the receiving of the public dollars for voucher schools is what you'd like to see included in the upcoming biennial budget.
I'd like to see that too. If we expect public schools to meet those higher standards, then the voucher schools should meet those standards as well. And if you want to start educating kids, you got to start early. You got to provide kids from the time that they're born with good medical care and opportunities, you know. And learning opportunities before they even get into school. Because I can remember my mother was reading to me back when I was a small child, and I had books memorized that my grandfather actually tried to start spouting nonsense when he was reading to me back to me in the Golden Book of Dinosaurs. Apparently I turned to him, because just reading nonsense, apparently I turned to him and said, I know that's not what it says. And it must have been like, you know, three or four when he was in his...
memorizing the books back then, Mark, and increasing funds for literacy here in Wisconsin, part of the compromises as well that are being discussed between lawmakers in the state capitol, along with the Evers administration and the Department of Public Instruction. Appreciate your contribution to today's edition of Town Call, Mark. You can be like Mark, 844-967-2789. We want to hear if you were a lawmaker, if you had the ability to contribute to the budget writing process, what would you include in the upcoming two-year budget? 844-967-2789. And Will, as you noted, there are a variety of things that we know are going to be included and know aren't going to be included, especially after some comments yesterday at a forum that was attended by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Mm-hmm. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss reading from a piece over at WPR, noting that, as the piece is titled, Medicaid expansion will never happen, but medical marijuana might. Voss said Wisconsin's Badger Care program covers the state's poorest citizens, making Medicaid expansion unnecessary. Now, this is, again, as we have now heard from multiple callers, the vast majority of Wisconsinites support the expansion of Medicaid in the state, and the vast majority of Wisconsinites support, at a minimum, medical marijuana legalization. That's not even to get into the discussion of recreational, but Robin Voss, at a luncheon hosted by Wisconsin Health News at the Madison Club, spoke about his healthcare priorities, including his overarching philosophy that American healthcare is accessible and high quality and therefore costs more. Luke, you noted this during the break, how humorous that kind of statement was, because every piece of information out there says otherwise.
I would think that he hasn't spent a whole lot of time in the medical world, then, would be my guess. Mm-hmm. From comments like that, he hasn't had a whole lot of experience with the medical system, would be my takeaway from those comments. But we want to know. So Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, not going to include Badger Care or Medicaid expansion in the upcoming budget. He says it's never going to be, it's a non-starter as long as he is the leader of the Republican caucus in the state assembly. What would you include in the upcoming biennial budget? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. We got Lou from Cudahy calling in. Lou, what would you like to see included in the upcoming budget?
Well, if I was a Wisconsin legislator, I would increase budgeting for homeschool situations and for charter schools, because when those kids get out of those school situations, they actually can spell, they can write, they have word comprehension. They know how to separate words into syllables so you can sound a word out and figure it out. They don't get that with public schools. They can't read at grade level. They can't do math at grade level in public schools. That's why public schools are a failure. And that also is why parents want to remove their kids. They're not getting educated. They are getting indoctrinated into leftist ideology. What do you think of that?
Lou, I went through public school, and I can read pretty well.
Really? Well, you would be the exception, not the rule.
Are you sure?
I also went through public school, Lou,
Are you sure, Lou?
I read quite well.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. That's good because you are the exception. Public schools are a monster failure. That's why in other states and in our state, Wisconsin's public schools are failures, and the people who want to get their kids educated either through homeschool or charter schools, they're happy to move. That's why I know that people from the left, like you, are frightened of losing control of the educational system because that's how you indoctrinate people. And I can appreciate how you wouldn't like charter schools.
Lou, I'm curious if you have any data that backs up your assertion that public schools are completely failing.
Go on the internet and you can find all kinds of, Google it and see what you come up with.
That's interesting, Lou. You're putting the onus on us to prove the point that you are trying to make. I don't know if you're familiar with research journals and how they generally work, but when you are making a statement, it's typically on the individual to have the information that backs that up rather than just saying, go and find it yourself. I don't know if this has changed since the time that I spent involved, but
since you're the wizard of smart, can you give me a reason why there's such a big exodus out of the public schools and into private schools and into charter schools? What would be the reason?
Well, I guess, first of all, I'd like to know where you're seeing that information, that people are leaving public schools en masse to private schools. I can speak from, I'll give you a personal anecdote in that I attended Germantown High School, which is, you know, rural suburban-ish high school, considered one of the better schools in the state, significant amount of individuals who went to some of the highest rated national universities. And we did not have any of the problems, I guess, that you have been in pointing out that public schools tend to have. We had very high standardized test scores. Now, if you want to argue whether standardized test scores is the end all be all, that's fine. I'm more than willing to have that conversation. I think public schools should be teaching critical thought. But as the American education system is currently built, we do use standardized test scores to kind of judge which students are at higher or lower levels than other students. And public schools produce a significant percentage of the total graduates of universities at the state level because we have so many students that are in these schools. Where did you go to high school, if you don't mind me asking, Luke?
I do mind you asking. I wouldn't tell that to somebody from the left.
Did you go to a public high school, Lou?
If you're on this radio station,
Lou, you go to a public high school?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Okay, well, it's a shame that you want to contribute to the conversation and share whether or not you got a public education. It seems strange that if you did, that you're so against it now. It's also important to point that there are problems still in public schools. I think one of the largest problems is the fact that public school districts have to be reliable on property taxes for funding, and therefore poorer areas have fewer resources to be able to put in to those public schools. And then when those same areas are attacked by conservative or liberal state lawmakers at any point, they are the ones hurt the most. And so, yeah, there are flaws to the system. The system can be improved, but it's very difficult to fund two systems at the same time, which is what is happening right now. We are funding both the public system and a private voucher system with state tax dollars. And we want to hear what you think, though. 844-967-2789. Do you agree with Lou, or what would you like to see in the upcoming budget? Share your thoughts here on Town Call.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
And oh, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Highs level off around 82 this afternoon. Under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the east 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 57. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Dry with temperatures near average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs in the low 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Welcome back. This is Town Hall. We are talking the Wisconsin upcoming budget and particularly regarding education in the state of Wisconsin, private versus public schools. We have Greg from Waukesha on the line. If you want to be like Greg, give us a call, 844-967-2789. How are you doing, Greg?
Hi, I'm great. Hey, I don't have much to say about education, but one of the things that I think that needs to be looked at in the budget is I'm totally blind myself, and I rely on transportation, buses, cabs, you know, Ubers, et cetera, to get around. And not just buses, but I mentioned those other things just to mention them and say that they're alternative forms. And I'd like to see more, investment in the transportation sector of things, specifically for disabilities. This is something that the disability community has been kind of wanting, is more and more transportation options. City buses aren't always the most convenient or reliable sometimes, but just more in Waukesha County. I know that we have a program called the Share Fare Taxi Program, which is through the County Department of Senior Services. But I'd like to see more investment in the areas of transportation and transportation research.
Thank you so much for sharing. We actually covered yesterday's episode was pretty much entirely about public transportation. The value that it can provide to a community and how important it really is to have those options available. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Mike from Wisconsin Rapids on the line. Mike, what would you like to see in Wisconsin's biennial budget?
Mike, do we have you? All right, we'll have to go back to Mike in a little bit. We'll see if Aaron can check on Mike there. But let's go over to Chris in Madison now. Chris, what would you, if you were behind these closed doors in the legislature, getting to contribute to what would be included in the upcoming two-year budget, what would you like to see funded here in the state of Wisconsin, Chris?
I was going to first comment on Lou. I think he's full of it. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
We can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah.
You were on a roll. I didn't want to cut you off.
Yeah. My son went to the second best private school in Madison, and it really ruined him for school. He, after leaving there, he was a COVID kid, so he transitioned to high school during COVID. But he refused to go to school for like 2 years after going to that private school. And he loves West now, but he refused to go to school for over 2 years. and it really hurt him with his schooling. And I went to public schools in 2000. I graduated in 2000, and they were the best in the nation in Madison back then. We had the top four schools in the nation in Madison, which is so this privatization of everything is just ruining things. And Act 10 just wrecked the schools also. So my mom retired during the Act 10 debacle. And these people just don't know, aren't paying attention to things 6 months ago, much less 10 years ago.
And Chris, your mother was a teacher? She retired from teaching during that?
She was an LD teacher before that.
Gotcha.
And she taught for 15 years in Madison schools.
And we're losing excellent teachers left and right, as you said, because of policies such as Act 10. Wisconsin is facing a massive, massive teacher shortage. We're going to go back to the phone lines again. Thanks for joining us today, Chris. We have Dick from Madison. Dick, what would you like to see in the biennial budget?
I'd like to respond to Lou as well. My oldest daughter, she's 36 now, so this is back in about, we had situations where she went to a private parochial school in Madison, I won't name the parish, until fifth grade, and then from then on, public. Okay. Along about 1996, I was dropping her off at school, and it was election time. And I don't know if you guys remember the little signs that used to say, "We vote pro-life," and they had kind of a flag, what looked like a flag, you know, behind it. Well, this was also a polling place. And when he talks about indoctrinating or pushing an agenda, I went right into the school office that day and I said, I've got a question. This is right on the walkway up to the building. I believe that's called electioneering. Is that the term? And
yes.
I don't think that sign is appropriate outside of a polling place. So to Lou, who thinks that, you know, this liberal agenda or whatever, don't give me that. Because I've seen it I've seen it firsthand. I said, I would like that sign removed today. And you should have seen the look on their face. It was like, well, and all this. And I said, no, this is wrong. You can have this belief as this church. Move that up the parking lot to where the church is, not down here by the school. And then I'm fine with it.
And there's a reason that polling places are not allowed to have any type of, individual candidate or partisan type behavior there, because it is supposed to be a place of independence. And I think you made a good point as well, Dick, that there is the idea that these private schools are somehow, I don't know if superior is the right word, but we have anecdotal experience from numerous callers now who have shared their personal experience. And I think, you know, if you go and talk to the people of Wisconsin, if you talk to the teachers of Wisconsin, you'll see that public schools really are the bedrock of a lot of our communities.
Yeah, and I, like Dick's daughter, I also had parochial education and public education. I valued them both, but to belittle one over the other, I think is nonsense. We got about a minute left. Let's head over to Mike in Wisconsin Rapids. Mike, what would you like to see in the upcoming biennial budget?
I guess what I'd like to see is fiscal responsibility. I don't know. You know, the problem is everybody wants stuff, but how do you pay for it? And as a business person my entire life, taxes keep going up and up. Now, maybe it's not necessarily the income tax, but stuff that used to be included in tax is now a fee, other fees for things that used to be included. And I think fiscal responsibility. I went to public school, and I got a good education. I went to Nacoosa. I got a good education. My daughters and my wife went to parochial school, and I believe I got a better education.
That's completely fair. Sorry to cut you short, Mike, but we got to head to the end here. It's important to note as well, though, the budget, $7 billion surplus. And so having fiscal responsibility, we've seen it over the last 2 years, and hopefully we'll continue to see it. Folks, this has been Town Call. Tune in tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to you all then.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.